To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. God is good and his mercies endure forever. I am your friend, Pastor Desiree Parks. Thank you for coming to another episode of my podcast. I pray that the message that the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring to you today will help to build your faith. It will strengthen you. It will give you courage. It will give you wisdom, more understanding, and even breakthrough. That is my desire. That is my prayer for you. I want his word to bring fresh revelation and new understanding to your heart. And I pray also that you get answers to your questions, because it's very important that the questions that we ask of the Lord, it's important that we receive those answers, that we may walk in the direction that he is leading us, and not, you know, not leaning on our own understanding. It is very important that we pray daily, and we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy, right? That's what the word of God in Ephesians says. We are to put on the whole armor of God. So Nehemiah felt like he could not fix, not even just Nehemiah, the children of Israel, they felt like there's no way they could fix a 100-year-old problem, because it was many, many years had passed when they had tried to rebuild the temple, rebuild the house of God, and the enemy opposed them. And what they did was they just simply stopped. They gave in, and they just decided they were gonna live with it. Amen. So they felt like it was no fixing this problem. Why? Because the opposition is always, always, always coming after them. So they just succumbed. They just gave in. They just gave in. They gave up. So Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, is lying in ruin. And no one thought to rebuild it, because every time they tried to rebuild it in the past, the enemy came and opposed them. I know sometimes you might feel pressed down, burdened down, oppressed, depressed, tired, frustrated. You know, you feel like you're crying out to God and God is not hearing you, or he's not answering. But can I just tell you today that God hears your prayers? Yeah, he says he hears the prayers of the destitute, and he will not despise our prayers. He will not. He will never, ever despise your prayers. He hears your prayers, and he is faithful and just. He says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, opposition is always difficult. And it's even more difficult when a brother or sister in Christ disagrees with you, especially when you're feeling already like the whole world is caving in on you. And then, you know, your brother or your sister in Christ disagrees with you. It feels like you're being betrayed on top of everything else. There were two gentlemen, actually ended up being three, but there were two gentlemen in scripture, Sambalat and what's the other one named? Tobiah, that withstood Nehemiah when he asked for time off from the king of Persia, who he worked with as a cupbearer. He asked for time off to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because the walls were laying in ruins. You know, Nehemiah was in Persia, but his heart was in Jerusalem. Amen. He was saddened that the walls that were built to protect the city against violent attacks, you know, against whatever schemes of the enemy, he was sad about hearing that the walls were still destroyed. And not only that, the people weren't in a good state. They were not doing good. So Nehemiah, as a man of God, a servant of God, before he's a servant to the king of Persia, he was a little down about it, and he, you know, he was serving the king of Persia one day because he was a cupbearer, and the king noticed his countenance that he looked sad. And whenever you went into the presence of the king, you have to appear happy, whether or not you're happy. But that day, Nehemiah just could not hide it. And, you know, the king noticed that he wasn't looking good, and he asked Nehemiah what was troubling him, and he told him. Hallelujah. He told the king what was going on. And, you know, sometimes instead of, I know somewhere in scripture, David talks to himself. He talks to his soul and he asks his soul, why are you so cast down? You know, lift your spirit. Soul, why are you so sad, soul? You know, sometimes when you feel depressed, when you feel burdened, when you feel oppressed, when you feel like you can't go another day, another hour, it's important that you go to God. You have to take your burdens and you have to lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can carry that load for you. Amen. When you feel like you're opposed, when you're being opposed by a fellow believer, you have to take those things to God. You have to tell God how you are feeling. Tell God how you are feeling so he can lift that burden. You know, because the things of God that concern you, they concerned God before they concerned you. The Church of Jesus Christ that concerns you so much, it concerned God before it concerned you. Nehemiah felt burdened down. He felt oppressed. He felt bad for the children of Israel, amen, that were still living in Jerusalem after they had been freed from bondage, because Nebuchadnezzar, who took them captive, was dead. But they were still living as though they were enslaved. Amen. They were so beat up in their mind. They were so still captive in their minds. And though they were free men, they were still living as though they were bound. And Nehemiah had never, ever even lived in Jerusalem, but that's his people. And he was so burdened down by the oppression of God's people. Amen. And he wanted them to have a good future, to move forward from the bondage, from the Egypt mindset. It saddened him. And what he did was he went to the king. He went to the one that he thought had the answer. And God is saying to you today, instead of laying down and mourning and grieving yourself and carrying heavy burdens, God is saying that you're to bring those things to him, because the Church of Jesus Christ belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. The church is the people. We are God's people. Amen. And even if you're thinking about the physical building, the church building, or whatever is taking place in the building concerning the members of the church, of the body of Christ, listen, God wants you to bring those things to him. Amen. You know, we're so worried. And I know oftentimes we carry burdens that we're not even supposed to be carrying. You know, leadership is important. Leadership is very important. I'm a pastor of one branch of God's church in the earth, right? For now, right? Leadership is important. And what happens is God puts the pastor as the manager of a branch of a church, a building, and or a flock, right? The sheep or the fish, whatever you want to call yes, the believers, right? So the pastor is the manager of God's church. The pastor is under God's authority. The pastor gets his or her instructions from God, right? From the Holy Spirit of God, from God himself, from Jesus. It's God. And one God in three persons is one God. It's not three different persons. It's one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. So I am the pastor and I manage this branch of God's church, right? I have a job that I have to do. I have to delegate, right? That is my job. It is to delegate. It's not to push people around. Leadership is very important. Somebody has to delegate to you. Amen. If you have children, you might have to delegate to your children. If you work in a hospital setting or in a bank setting, wherever you work, even if you work in a store, there is a manager. Someone has to give the instructions. But whoever is giving that instruction, whoever is in that leadership position, is also taking instructions from somebody else. Hallelujah. It's just like in a marriage, the husband is under God's authority, right? The husband is submitted to God. He has to come under God, right? And then the wife has to come under. She has to now submit to the husband. The husband is not pushing the wife around, but that's just God's order. You know, wives, we're supposed to submit to our husbands. There's leadership, there's levels, right? So if you're in the church and And I feel like honestly the Holy Spirit is talking to somebody that is taking too much on in the physical church building. You're concerning yourself too much with all the duties, or just carrying too much duties, trying to do everything and trying to outdo everybody. And God is just saying to you, if you're a plumber, just take care of fix the plumbing. He's saying to you, if you're an electrician in that church, if needed, do the electrical work. Work where your skill set is what God is saying to you today. If you do lawn care, right, go out and tend to the grounds, the church grounds. Do the lawn care, right? If God has enabled you to work in the kitchen, in the church. I mean, vacuum. I know I've been in churches where the floors have carpet. Vacuum, sweep. You know, just work where God has put you in, and God is saying to you, be content with it, is what he is saying. I mean, if your pastor asks you to attend to the restroom, just do it with joy, because you're not doing it as unto man, you're doing it as unto God. And stop taking on other chores that you're not supposed to be taking on. Just work in the skill set that God has given you, because I'm telling you, you know, sometimes we just take on too much more than we can bear. Nehemiah went to build the wall of Jerusalem, right? And what Nehemiah did was he organized the work very, very carefully. He was the one that chose the sections carefully. He chose who would repair what. Amen. What Nehemiah did in the book of Nehemiah, when he started the rebuilding of the wall, he gathered up the children of Israel. Even the priests helped. The priest wasn't too important. Even the priests, it was just a few people that just thought they were too grand, you know, to get their hands dirty. But even the priests helped in the building process. So you have to do your part, is what God is saying to you. What Nehemiah did, because he was the leader that God put in position. He was the one in authority. And people, we have to learn to come under authority. Authority is a covering. It is given. Authority is put in your life by God. It's a covering. Hallelujah. Authority, you know, the Bible says something about, you know, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 or 13 onwards. Romans chapter 12 or 13, it talks about authority, and it clearly explains that God is the author of authority. He's the authority in the family, in the marriage, in Congress, in your place of employment. God is the authority in the school. Whether you understand the authority or not, whether you agree with the authority or not, you have to trust and obey, is what God is saying. You know, because he's the one that puts people in authority, puts leadership into place. And he is saying leadership is so, so important. Can I just tell you what God is saying right now? He is saying in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they what? Follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you belong to God, you have to trust and obey him. Do your part. Come on the leadership, because in doing so, you are honoring God. Amen. Let me tell you something. I don't know what's going on with or who, but I'm sure God is talking to more than one person. Amen. But he said his sheep hear his voice. God cares. Can I just tell you, we are not, none of us are better than any other. Somebody has to be in leadership. Somebody has to be the manager. Somebody has to be the CEO. Somebody has to be the janitor. Somebody has to be the plumber. Somebody has to be the electrician. Somebody has to be the cook. Somebody has to work the front office. Somebody has to clean the bathroom. People, in the house of God, I'm talking about, and God is saying he cares about all sorts of people. Amen. And God, he says he is pleased when we what? We serve him well. We have to serve God well. We have to focus on the skill set that God has given us and remove our eyes from people, is what he is saying. Remember Peter in scripture, when Peter began to listen to the voice of his friends behind him saying, Peter, you cannot walk on water. You don't have the skill to walk on water. Amen. He started to fall. He started to drown. Hallelujah. But he had the skill set Spirit put inside of him by God. Because when he asked, when he saw Jesus coming on the water, before he realized it wasn't a ghost, it was Jesus, he said, "If it's you, Jesus, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter climbed out of the boat, y'all, and he started to walk on water. Continue to walk on water for Jesus Christ. Continue to walk in the skill set that God has placed on the inside of you. Amen. Don't let distraction take it away from you. I am telling you, if you are a plumber, get to working on the facilities plumbing. Amen. God wants you to serve him well. There has to be a Nehemiah in every church. There has to be a manager. There has to be a pastor. Amen. There has to be people. We have to come under authority. You know, you can't oppose God, because when you oppose the work of God, you're opposing God. You cannot oppose God and expect a happy future. You cannot oppose God when God, when people are working in their skill set in the house of God. You can't oppose the people. You're not opposing the people. When you're opposing God's people, you're opposing God. And then expect that your day is going to go good. No, your day is going to be miserable. Amen. You know, the enemy's tactic is to create confusion among the people of God. That is Satan's tactic. His tactic in the physical church building is to create confusion in the house of God. Amen. It's confusion that he uses against the brethren. And then guess what? When he uses that tactic against the body of Jesus Christ, the people in the church, the lay people and the leadership, guess what happened? The people will never move forward. And we'll never fulfill God's word. We'll never fulfill God's work, because we're so distracted by the tricks of the enemy. And that is what Tobiah and Sambalat was doing to Nehemiah. Amen. And the children of Israel, when they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, instead of being happy that the walls were being repaired, amen, they withstood them. Amen. They withstood them. We can't, you know, Matthew 7:7 said, "Judge not, so you be not judged." You know, this, you see what I'm doing? I'm preaching. I'm ministering the word. But guess what? This is not my project. This is God's project. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 2:19 says, "When they started to build, Sanballat, the Hormonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Amorite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it. They laughed them to scorn and despised them and said, 'What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?'" They're laughing at Nehemiah. They were okay when Jerusalem, the walls were ruined and laying in ruins, rubble. They were okay that the walls of Jerusalem weren't rebuilt. And I don't understand, because they were fellow brothers and citizens of Jerusalem. How is the church lying in ruins and you're okay with it as a believer? How is it that people are not getting along in the house of God and you're okay with it and you call yourself a believer? How is it? We cannot oppress God's people. Amen. As long as the walls of Jerusalem was broken down, as long as the gates were burnt, Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem were okay. As long as the people were in a bad state, they were okay. But the minute they heard that somebody was interested in rebuilding the walls, somebody wanted to help in the house of God, they had a problem with that. Let me tell you something. A city without walls is wide open to the enemy. The church of Jesus Christ, the people in the church, from leadership, from the greatest to the small, have to build a wall and to keep the enemy out. And how do we build a wall to keep the enemy out? Through prayer and fasting and working together, not against one another. Amen? Not against one another. You have to remember, this is God's project, not yours. Hallelujah. You know, God says in his word, "Those that laugh at you, they will cry one day." Amen. Let them laugh. Let them go ahead and laugh. They will see you continue to build. You continue to play your part. Hallelujah. Focus on God and His promises. Be patient and strong. Continue to believe in the Lord. Continue. It is important that you play your part in the house of God. It is so important. You know, in Matthew 25, 1 to 13, there are 10 virgins. 5 of them was wise and 5 was foolish. And when we talk about the 5 foolish virgins, what the Lord is talking about are those people in the house of God that hear the word, but they don't live the word. They hear the word just like the 5 wise ones, the 5 foolish ones heard the word. There are people in the house of God. There are people in your church. They're listening to the same Sunday sermon you're listening to. And they listen to the same Bible study you're listening to. But for whatever reason, they're not keeping their lamps filled. Amen. With oil. Because they're not surrounding themselves with godly people when they leave the house of God. Amen. So what happens is when the Lord returns, they are unprepared. Hallelujah. Or when circumstances arise, like walls are torn down, they don't know how to pray and they don't know how to fast and they don't know how to have courage and to have faith because they have not been constantly filling their vessels with oil, filling their lamps with oil. They have not been staying in the word. They have been off focus. Amen. So when the enemy comes and he distracts them, they're distracted by his tactics and they're distracted by his tricks. They give up and they feel like God has abandoned the church or this church will never grow or there's too much confusion here and it's too much this here and it's too much that there. And they're too busy monitoring what everybody else is doing instead of doing what God has called them to do. Amen. So they lie in ruins and they feel like this is hopeless. It's going nowhere. They're too busy delegating or in their minds. Amen. They're too busy not trusting God and His pick for whatever duty in the house of God. They're too busy. Amen. Their focus is off. Hallelujah. So like in the book of Matthew, it says no one knows the day or the hour Jesus is going to return. So when he shows up, they're unprepared. There is in the book of, I think it's Matthew. Let me find it. There's a man in the book of Matthew. Or is it Luke? I think it's Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. And verse 17 says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said in verse 20, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You might be sitting in a church like the five foolish virgins, and God is saying, you won't even go to heaven. Amen. You won't even go because you're so off focus. Jesus says to the servant, go and invite people to church. If that is what you are called to do, go and evangelize. Go and bring people into the church. The servant went out and he did as the master said. He's a servant and God sent him to do a job. He sent him to go out and to invite people to come to church. He went and he said they have so many excuses. One man went as far as saying, I just got married. I have a wife. I can't come. Excuse me. Another one said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to prove them. I have to make sure these beasts are okay. Amen. Another one, what was it the other one said? The other one said, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of land. Can you imagine? I'm not going to church because I just bought a piece of land. But the fact still remains, this is the point that the Lord is saying to you. Listen, you gotta listen to leadership. You have to listen to your pastor. I don't know who God is talking to, but please, listen, follow leadership. Leadership is important. Do your duty is what God is saying, because you're not doing it for men, you're doing it for God. And understand that the leadership is taking their instruction from God. Jesus is speaking here in this book of Luke. It's Jesus himself in red letters speaking. He told the servant, this is the servant's job. His job is to go out and invite people to church. The servant went out and invited and they gave him pure excuses. Did the servant not do his job? Of course he did his job. The people didn't come, but them not coming doesn't mean that he didn't do his job. You cannot stop doing your job because you've invited people to church 1 or 2 times or 10 or 12 times or all your Christian life. You've been inviting people to church and nobody has come. You cannot stop doing your job because they don't come. That's not your fault. It's nothing you've done. God just wants you to continue to do what he has conditioned or positioned you to do. You can't give up, because the day you don't go, the day you don't evangelize, the day you don't take care of the plumbing, the day you don't answer the phone at the church, is the day that soul, you know, gets lost. God is saying that you have to go out. What the man came back and he gave a report. You see, I want to give God this report. Like the Apostle Paul says, he want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. I want to hear, come on in. I don't want to hear the Lord saying, I never knew you, when I said, but Lord, I taught your message. I preached and I this and I went to church and I was a pastor. I don't want to hear, remove yourself from before me. I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear God. I would rather hear God say, Desiree, I know you tried. Desiree, you went out. As difficult as it was, you did what I told you to do. Do you think the job of a pastor or a preacher is an easy job? No. A pastor has to deal with a congregation of people with diverse personalities. And remember, the pastor is one person. He or she is only one person dealing with many other personalities. And he or she is expected to understand everybody's personality, their moods and their attitude. And the pastor is supposed to just flow with it and just accept your grumpiness, accept your murmuring, accept your complaining, and be okay, and cannot get mad or cannot be sad or cannot be disappointed or cannot voice his or her opinion because he or she is a pastor. They're not supposed to. A pastor is a person too. And the pastor is simply trying to do his or her job. Why don't you do yours? No, you're busy laughing. They laughed at Nehemiah and the children of Israel because they were trying to rebuild the house of God, the walls of Jerusalem. You're busy laughing at leadership, not knowing that that is the enemy at work. In the book of Ephesians 6:11, the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is the devil that is telling you to laugh at leadership. It is the devil that is telling you to oppose those in the body of Jesus Christ. It is the devil. And God says you better put on the whole armor so you will recognize when Satan is at work in you or through you. You know, when they laughed at Nehemiah, when they opposed Nehemiah, Nehemiah had to go to the lengths of asking the king of Persia, please, can you give me protection that every city or every town that I have to go through until I get to Jerusalem? He says, can you get the governors to give me letters? So, and the king sent horses and military men with Nehemiah to keep him safe. God is going to protect those who he has put in place to build his church, to work in ministry. He's going to give them special protection. Amen. He is going to give them special protection. You know, it's bad enough, you know. It's bad enough you're going through a difficult time trying to do the work of the Lord, and then to turn around and feel like you've been betrayed by, on top of everything else that you're going through, by your own brothers and sisters in Christ. They used scorn and they mocked and they laughed at Nehemiah to make him feel stupid or foolish, like what he was doing for the Lord was not sufficient or wasn't important. No, God is proud of everyone that works a work for him. Amen. And he cares about everyone that's doing a work for him. It doesn't matter how big the job or how small the job, however you think, because there's no small job or big job to God. Working for God is a great honor and a privilege, and is a blessing for God to even use you to clean the toilet in the church. It's a blessing for God to even use you to work in the kitchen. It's a blessing for God to even have you answering the phones to his church. And how dare you belittle anyone that is working anywhere in the house of God, even the person that greets the people at the door and takes their name down in a book, that person is important to God. Everybody, every step, every stage of ministry, every job in ministry is important to God. When God was building the tabernacle in the wilderness, Aaron was at work, his sons were at work, Joshua was at work with Moses. I mean, Jeremiah worked, Elijah worked, Ezekiel worked, everybody worked. Hallelujah, Moses worked. Noah worked, his sons, Noah built the ark, his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth worked. They all worked. We all have a job to do. And all of our jobs are significant to God, of great significance to God. Nehemiah didn't complain or look to see who could fix the problem he was having with Tobiah and Geshem and what's the other one? Sambalat. No, he went to God to fix the problem. Pastor, I'm telling you, Don't go to others complaining to others or crying to others about your problem. Take your problems to God. He chose you as a manager of that branch of his church. He chose you because he trusts you. He didn't choose you because you have a college degree or you don't have a college degree. God don't care if you have a high school diploma or a GED. God don't care. He doesn't care. He only cares that your heart is surrendered to him. It's your broken spirit and your contrite heart that God loves about you. It's the faithfulness that God loves about you. You continue to work for Jesus Christ to the best of your ability. Pastor, you continue to preach. You continue to press. And never mind the opposition. God will always give you special protection. He will remove them before he removes you. What happened to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem? You think they had a great future? No, they did not. Moses had some men in scripture that withstood him in the wilderness. Oh, Moses, you're taking on too much. Guess what it is? It's called jealousy, Pastor. It is just jealousy. And what did God do? He opened the earth and gave them all a one-way ticket to hell. Because they were opposing Moses when all Moses was trying to do was to do the work of the Lord. And Dathan, Abiram, and the other one opposed him, and 250 others. They all opposed Moses and Aaron, and God killed them. I'm not saying God is in the killing business, but what God is trying to show you from these stories is that those that oppose you are not opposing you. They're opposing God. Amen? God caused their plot to be what? Unsuccessful. You don't need to worry, just like Nehemiah didn't need to worry. You know what the children of Israel did? When Sanballat and Tobiah, they literally were trying to physically harm Nehemiah and the children of Israel. I don't understand. These are fellow citizens of Jerusalem. They're supposed to be so-called Christians, but guess what? They had popularity because Tobiah was a powerful figure, and because he was connected to some family of priests, the high priest. So Tobiah was some powerful figure, and Sanballat also through marriage was connected to some priest in Jerusalem as well. So they had this support system behind them. So they thought that they were better than Nehemiah. And you know what irks? You know what really got on their nerve? I think got on their nerve, Tobiah and Sanballat. You know why they were so jealous and envious? It's because Nehemiah never even lived in Jerusalem. He had never even been to Jerusalem. He just got news from his friends that were in Jerusalem. When they came and he asked, how is the city Jerusalem doing? They were just mad that somebody came from the outside and made things right on the inside. They were just mad that somebody saw a problem, and instead of talking about the problem, they fixed the problem. Amen? If you see a need, you meet that need. You don't talk about the need. You don't laugh at the need. You see a need, you meet that need. You meet that need. Each person has his own special job to do. Amen? These people that were rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, they weren't skilled people. They weren't skilled builders. Amen. They were normal people with regular jobs. And God put an amazing man in authority, in leadership over them, called Nehemiah. And you know what Nehemiah did? When they started to build the wall, wherever the children of Israel live, like if you live across this side of town where that side of the wall is, that's where he will put you to work. He will put them to work close to home. He wouldn't put you on the south side to go build the wall on the south side when you live on the north side. No, he will let you work on the north side. He was organized. The pastor knows what he is doing. You need to step back and let God be God and do what only God can do. How dare you talk about who the person that God has put in place? God, does God not know what God is doing? Do you know better than God? No, no, no. They were attacking a wall. The wall was being built. Can you imagine? The wall was being built to protect Israel, Jerusalem, from violent attacks. But it looked like the same wall that they're building itself might have caused them to be attacked. Huh? Not even by outsiders. They were building the wall to protect them from outsiders. The physical wall. But the problem was on the inside of the church. Oh, come on. Look at Nehemiah. Do what Nehemiah did. Pastor, Nehemiah didn't complain. He didn't look to people to see who could fix his problem. He immediately did what he knew he could do, and that was pray. He prayed, amen, and he sought God in the situation, and that is what you are to do, amen? That is what you're to do. You know, God is saying to somebody, what is in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Pastor, pray. People, pray. Satan trembles when we pray. God bless you.